We're going to be looking at Gideon's need for encouragement this morning. We're going to be looking at the idea that there are times when people need to be encouraged to go and do things that seem impossible. Sometimes people need to be encouraged to go and do things that seem impossible. We've been looking at the book of Judges. Now, if you turn there, I'm going to make you turn away from there in a minute, so you can keep your finger there, but we will go back to Judges. But there are many times when the Lord gives us tasks to do that seem impossible. It seems like, how are we going to get through that? And as we've looked through Gideon's life here, and Gideon's call to ministry, how the people had turned away from God. They were living in sin. They had turned away from him. They were serving idols, as we heard about this morning, and living in a way that wasn't pleasing to God. And God comes to Gideon, just a normal guy that doesn't think much of his position in life, doesn't think he has the abilities to do anything that God would want him to do. God calls this normal guy to go and do a work for him. I liken that to, I worked 8.5 years at General Motors. We kind of called ourselves factory rats. You know, I sanded cars. I did about everything in the paint department you could do. From last job I was doing for last few years was just painting cars. If your paint fell off your 80s Oldsmobile or Grand Am or anything, that could have been our fault. But anyway, I just saw myself as an average factory worker, never thought about going to Bible college, never thought about doing any of those things, never thought about ever getting up in front and talking to people. But God changed my direction and called me, and I kind of look at that the same as Gideon, how God changed his direction. But I needed a lot of encouragement along the way. There were those who tried to discourage me from doing what God wanted me to do, but I needed a lot of encouragement along the way to step out and to do what God wanted me to do, is to step out from working in a factory to standing in front of people. That was just not what I ever thought about doing. But not everyone who God calls to serve him is the same. We're all a little bit different, aren't we? Some of us are more bold, and some of us are more shy. I know people don't think so, but I'm the shy one. You know, I forced myself to become more bold and more outgoing. My natural tendency is to be shy. I told Marilyn last night, we went to the tractor pulls with Dean and Deb last night, and I said, and I'm getting older. I don't know what's going on here. I don't even like being in this big crowd of people. I think when we were ministering in Canada, I got to the point where we weren't in big crowds a lot. We were in small towns and small places, and these big crowds of people, I just kind of felt, sitting so close to so many people I don't know and rubbing shoulders with people I don't know. And it's like, I just don't feel like, you know, but you know what? When God calls you to do something, he didn't call me to go to the track. Yeah, he did. He spent time with some people in the church and how many of you like watching trucks and tractors and putting out black smoke and all that stuff? You know, I like that. I like that. So, but anyway, not everyone who God calls to serve him is the same. There are men like David who showed bravery and willingness to fight against all odds when others would have fled and were hiding. In fact, you know, you look at his brothers and the whole camp of Israel, they're hiding when it comes time for him to go out against Goliath. David, we know that David, from the scripture, says that David killed a lion and a bear just when he was a youth. Now, I don't think I'm that brave. I don't think I'm that brave. 1 Samuel 17:34 and 36 says this, "And David said unto Saul, thy servant was keeping his father's sheep, and when there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after him." I mean, he goes. He's like, lion, bear? No, I'm going after him. "And smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, delivered the lamb out of its mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him." In other words, all of us would be saying, okay, lamb, see you later. I mean, we can get by one less lamb if the lion comes. I mean, we're talking, this is a somewhat of an adult lion because he had a beard. He had a mane that he grabbed onto. And he didn't have a .44 Magnum. He didn't have a big gun. If he grabs him by the mane, what's he probably using? A knife. Can you imagine that? He's using a knife against a lion. An average adult male lion is about 400 and some pounds. You know, I just don't see myself doing that, going out after a lion to save a lamb. That's what he did, though. David then fearlessly, this is when he's approached, you know, he approached his brothers, everybody's fleeing away from Goliath, and David fearlessly says in verse 37 of that chapter, Jehovah that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Saul says, oh, okay, cool. I mean, I haven't found anybody this brave, and this is just a young kid, young guy, young man. And from David's early age, David had great faith that God would be with him, that God would take care of him. He had great faith that God was able to deliver him from danger and overwhelming odds. I mean, that's, David was just like that. He was just bold. But there are others who needed a lot more encouragement. Others need more encouragement. Turn to me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And this is God's call of Moses. Now, Moses, everybody knows who Moses is. Moses became a great man of God, one of the most revered men in the scriptures. But as we'll see, this one of the most revered men in the scriptures needed also great encouragement that God wanted to use him. As we look at Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to a mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now go turn aside and go see this great sight, that the bush is not, it's burning, but it's not burnt. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see, and God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Draw nigh. He said, draw nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face from, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large land, and large unto the land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Ammonites, Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now just stop and think about what God is telling him he's going to do. Moses, I'm going to send you to the most powerful leader on earth, the guy that rules over at that time the most powerful nation on earth, and you're going to tell him what he's going to do. What? It'd be like me going to President Trump and saying, this is what you got to do. If you don't do it, you're in trouble. How many of you think President Trump's going to listen to me? I don't think President Trump's going to listen to me if I go and tell him what to do. And Moses says unto God, who am I? What do you mean? Who am I? What am, who am I to go tell the leader of the world at that time, the most powerful, one of the most powerful nations on earth, who am I to go and do that? Well, we must always remember that God's going to be with you. It's not our power. When God sends us to do something, we always want to look and think, I can't do it, because I look at myself and think, I can't, I have no power to do this. And we got to remember, it's not, when God sends us, it's not our power. It's not our strength that's going to accomplish anything. He goes on there, verse 11, just read verse 11 again. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shalt thou be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou brought forth the people of out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Now stop and think a second. What type of a sign did God say, I'll give you that I will do this? What did he just say? When you come back again and worship me with the children of Israel here, that's a sign that I've sent you. We all want a sign that God has sent us to do something before we go. God says, when I've taken care of all the obstacles that are in the way, when you've come through, you know, all that, he didn't know what all he was going to go through. And when you look at the scripture, you know, see all that God did to bring them back from Egypt and bring them through and bring them back to the point where they're worshiping God. God said, that's the sign that I'm going to give you that I sent you. In other words, you will see everything that I do along the way. And when you've seen that, you'll know I've sent you to do this. See, sometimes God does not give us the sign that we want beforehand. Sometimes the sign is God's faithfulness along the way. Every obstacle he takes out of the way. Now, do obstacles mean there's hardship sometimes? Yes. Do obstacles mean there's trials sometimes? Yes. But every one of those, God says, I'll prove to you that I sent you, Moses, because I'll bring you right back here. And you'll have all the children of Israel with you to worship me. What a sign. I'm like, as we get to Gideon later, if we have time, Gideon wanted a sign before. Here Moses, he says, that's the real sign I'm going to give you. But verse 13, he goes on, he says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I am come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say? And he says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me. So he's wondering, how am I going to get them? Why would men follow me? Well, tell them, I am has sent me. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And I believe this is talking about both the children of Israel and Pharaoh and the leaders of Egypt. He says, they're not going to believe me. You ever feel like that at times? You tell people things and they just don't. I don't think they believe me. I don't think they believe me. And that's what Moses is saying. I'm not confident that they're going to believe anything I say. And I think that sometimes too. I'm up here preaching. I'm wondering, are they believing anything I'm saying? Well, notice verse 3, God gives him some signs. Chapter 4, verse 3, and he said, let's start in verse 2. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses did what most of us would have done, probably was a poisonous serpent. He fled from it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. And became a rod again, that they may believe that the Lord God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. God also tells him in verse 6, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put it in his hand in his bosom again, and he plucked it out in the bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to thy voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. So, don't have time to go further into that, but he gives them these signs to authenticate God's call upon his life. So Moses has been given all these promises of God. I mean, things that we would just be amazed at, Moses is given to say God, to, for God to say, okay, you can do this, and these will authenticate your ministry. How many of you are like Moses here in verse 10? Moses says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God gives him all these signs, then he says, but I can't do it because I can't speak well. I can't speak well. The meaning of that word is slow of speech. I feel his pain. It seems many times that the words I need don't come readily. You ever have that? Ever feel like that? You know, you're in the midst of a spiritual conversation, and it seems like they can say everything they want, and my head is flustered. It's like I can't say the right things at times. That's what Moses is saying. You know, when we get in debates, Moses said in debate class, I was always last. I don't think quickly. I'm not quick on my feet. My words don't come easily at times. I remember my first job application at the IGA store. I mean, this isn't a high-pressure job application. It's not like I'm going to be the vice president someplace or something. My first job application, I go into the IGA store. I didn't want to work at groceries anyway, but that was it was a job. And I don't remember how old I was. Probably just turned 16 or something like that because I just got my car. But I forgot to put in my date of birth on the job application. That's an easy enough thing. You forget your date of birth. Well, the store manager says, oh, you forgot to put in your date of birth. Could you give me that? I know I was born. You know, I sometime in the year I was born, I could not, for the life of me, remember my birth date. You know what I ended up doing? I stood there for a few minutes and the more I tried to think of it, the more flustered I got. And finally, I just turned around and walked out. Never walked back into that store again to look for a job. I was in the store again. My wife and I shopped there. But I never went back there looking for a job, you know, because I was just so flustered. You know, I get out in the parking lot. I can remember it, but I'm not going back in to this guy. I'm thinking, this guy thinks I'm dumb. I mean, I can't. But you know what? I'll do the same thing today. If I look at one of you and I want to call you to do something, all of a sudden there's a little pressure starts. Uh-oh. What's your name? I'm going to talk to you. I know your name, you know, but, and all, we all, some of you have memories. You remember everybody's name every time, but one of my limitations is, I think I'm like Moses. I'm slow of speech and slow of memory and, you know, maybe a little, there's something wrong up there sometimes, but Moses is saying, I can't go because of this limitation, God. I can't go and do it. Moses was fearful that he would not have the right word at the right time. He wouldn't be able to. I mean, you're going against Pharaoh. I mean, he's got all his counselors around him. Everybody's going to be able to hit you with all different types of things. And I've been living out in the desert. Well, let's look at verses 11 and 12. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Who made the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. God says, I'm the one who created you. I know your limitations. I know the things that you don't do well. You know what? He created you too. He knows every one of your limitations. He knows everything that you worry about. Most people have something that stresses them when it comes to other people. Some limitation, even if they don't tell anybody else. There's something that you have that it stresses you when you're around other people. Unless you're like a David. I don't know if David stressed out that much, but most of us have those things. We have what we think of as perceived limitations. We have perceived limitations. God says, I know your limitations. I created you that way. And I'm sending you to go do it. Now, God ends up sending Aaron to help him. We'll see that in a minute. But I believe God had wanted him to do it without Aaron. And God wants us, there's so many things that God wants us to do, and we make up these excuses about the limitations that we have. And I can't do it, Lord, because I have this. I can't do it, Lord, because I have that. How many times do we argue with God when His Holy Spirit's working in our heart? And if you're a believer and you've been a believer for a long time, you know when Holy Spirit's working in your heart to do something for Him. How many times when God is asking us to do those things, do we say, wait a second, God, you forgot what I'm like? Think about that. We're telling God, you don't understand the limitations I have. Well, down in verse 13, he says, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. There's got to be somebody else that can do this, God. Just somebody. He goes through all the excuses that he's made. God's encouraging him along the way. No, I'll be with you. No, I'll help you. I'll do this for you. No, I'll do that for you. No, that's not valid. I'll help you here. And finally, Moses, he runs out of excuses, so he just says, send somebody else. There's got to be somebody else that can do this, God. Anyone but me. You ever told the Lord that? Anyone but me. There's got to be somebody else. There's got to be somebody else more qualified. I'm not your man. What are we saying when we tell God, I'm not your man? God, I know more than you do. God, I know more than you do. How many of you have told God you know more than him? I've done that. You know, I know more than you, God, because I know you're sending me to do this, but I can't. You got to find somebody else that can do this job. Somebody else that can take care of this situation. You know what really reveals in our heart? A heart of pride. We look at it as humility, but it's really pride. I know more than you, God. Isn't that pride? When we tell God I know more than him. Well, verse 14 and here it says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. God already had Aaron on the way to fulfill this need. I mean, you think of God's timing at times in our lives. Some things, some people want to say, it's a coincidence. No. There's so many times when God has things timed just right to show us, this is how I'm leading in your life. And this is how I want you to do it. Even though you don't think you can, I want you to, I'm sending you some help. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherein thou shalt do signs. again, God uses both type of people. He uses a David and a Jonathan and a Paul. All those guys seem to be very bold. And God uses a Moses who, there's no way he was bold. God had to encourage him and encourage him and encourage him to go forth and do what he asked him to do. Let's quickly turn to Judges chapter 6. We don't have time to go through everything this morning. But in Judges 6, Gideon had his call into ministry. Gideon's made his excuses. And in verse 34, Judges 6, verse 34, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet in Ebenezer, and gathered after him," was gathered after him. The idea of the Spirit of the Lord coming on him is the Spirit of the Lord clothed him. When God calls us to do something, he enables us through his Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord clothed him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, "If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." What's Gideon saying? I'm still not confident of what you're asking me to do. And so I'm going to ask for a sign, God. I need encouragement. I need encouragement that what you are calling me to do is really what you want me to do. So he says, "Behold, I'll put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said." And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl of water full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once, one more time, that it now be dry only upon the fleece, and let the ground there be dew." Now what's Gideon saying? I ask for a dumb sign. Of course, the ground would naturally dry quicker than the fleece. So he asks, he says, he got thinking, I asked for this sign, but it wasn't a very smart sign to ask for. So now, Lord, I ask this. Make it so the fleece is dry and all the ground is wet. That's a lot better sign to ask for. God does so. God does that for him. He makes it so it's all dry. The fleece is dry and the ground is all wet. That's like, okay. Okay, now I see it. Verse 40, "And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." Chapter 7, verse 1, "Then Jerubbabel, who's Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, and the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, There are the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hands have saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Well, in Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, it says that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to ask, who's afraid? If you're afraid, go home, because you'll make everybody else afraid. Now, remember, Gideon has 32,000 men to start with. He's up against a force of 135 trained warriors. Gideon's calling all his farmer friends and stuff and say, come on, come help me in the battle. We have 32,000 men against 135,000. That sounds like David against the lion. But guess what? God says, that's too many. Because you'll be proud when I deliver them into your hands, and you're going to think you're such great warriors. So get rid of some. 22,000 leave. Wow. 10,000 left against 135,000. God says, that's still too many. Still too many. You're still going to be way too proud. And verse 4, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same will go with thee. And whosoever I say unto thee, this shall go not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought them down, the people, into the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And a number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. All the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into your hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. God says, okay, now I've got you to the point where when the victory happens, you'll know that it's me and not yourself. And God brings us to that place in our lives at times. God brings us to the point where we can't see how it's ever going to work out. We can't see how the obstacles are ever going to be taken out of the way. We can't see past the mountains to the next valley because there's so many things that we look at and say, it can never happen. God says, I'm going to bring you down to 300 against 135,000 so that you'll know I'm the one who gives the victory. I think that's 450 to 1. How many think that's good odds? 450 trained soldiers against me. I don't like those odds. I don't like those odds at all. That's scary odds. Well, Gideon needs another sign. Chapter 7, verse 7. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that laughed will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand and let all the other people go, every man to his place. Now, one thing, just stop here for a second. A lot of people say, well, God's choosing out the best soldiers and he's going to use the best soldiers. What's God's whole purpose here? It's not to choose best soldiers. The whole purpose, God says, is to get rid of more people. He's not choosing the best. If he chose the best, he's not going to choose Gideon. If he's choosing the best, he's not choosing me. Maybe you think you're the best. I don't know. But God doesn't normally choose those people who think they're the best. God chooses people that don't think they can do it. Why? As we read earlier, so that he gets the glory. So that he gets the honor. When we step forward and do things that we think, oh, there's no way. There's no way. But God wants to continue to encourage us. Keep going. Keep being faithful. And that's what he does with Gideon here. Again, he gives him encouragement. Verse 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered into the hand. In other words, go to the battle. But if thou fear to go down, go with Purah thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down, the Purah's servant, unto the hill outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of East lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were outnumbered, and sand by the seashore for multitude. A lot of guys. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it, that it fell over, and overturned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, and the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered the Midian and all his host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream, and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. We don't have time to go into how that was all accomplished, but God delivered the host of Midian that night into Gideon's hand. The 300 started the whole rout. Others came and helped, but it was only after the 300 were obedient to go. How many of you, I think it's amazing that there were 300 men willing to go out against 135,000. I mean, how many, it's kind of like a missionary going to a large group of people, and it's like, we're the only ones here, it seems like. You know what? Missionaries need encouragement. Pastors need encouragement. We all need encouragement. Those people who God used, He encouraged. I'm sure if we were to ask the Bolins, they could tell us over and over again how God encouraged them in the work to keep going. He talked about 6 years. I thought 3.5 years of deputation was long. 6 years. I remember coming to a point where after the first year, we only had a little amount of support, less 10.3%. And we were like, does God want us to go on? We asked God, we were helping at a Christian camp. We asked God, do you want us to go on? When we got home, there were promises of support in the mailbox, encouragement to go on. Is there something overwhelming in your life that you're just like, man, I need encouragement to go on. I need strength to go on. Is there some task that seems like it's against all odds and you need encouragement? How many obstacles are there that seem great, that seem too many? God wants to encourage you today that He will be with you. He's promised us to never leave us nor forsake us. If He's calling you, if you know it's God's will for you to do something, He will be with you. He will help you. He will strengthen you. There's times in all of our lives when our faith is tested. Some of you are more like David and Jonathan and Paul. I think most of us are more like Gideon, more like Moses at the beginning. We need encouragement to continue our and take steps of faith. When you need encouragement, go to God's Word. Spend time in God's Word. Psalm 139 is a great psalm to go to get encouraged in the Lord. Go to the Word and spend extra time in God's Word to be encouraged. Spend extra time in prayer. Spend time in church. Spend time with good Christian friends. Let me ask you another question. How are you at encouraging others? We all need encouragement. Are you an encourager? I know God gifts some people to do that. Others of us need to work at encouraging other people because we don't always see the trials they're going through. Let me ask you, when was the last time you tried to encourage somebody to go on in their faith? When was the last time you tried to encourage somebody, you saw them struggling and you just went to them and say, you know, I love you. I know that God loves you. Is there anything I can do to help you today? To be an encouragement to others around. You know, there's lots of people who like to discourage others, who like to try and pull everybody down, who like to try and tell people like Gideon, you shouldn't go. You shouldn't do it. How about encouraging people in the Lord? How about going to people and saying, I love you, and God loves you, and I want to help. You know, when just before Joshua is to take the children of Israel into the promised land, Deuteronomy 1:38 says, God's telling Moses what to do, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go into the promised land. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Great leaders like Joshua needed encouragement from other great leaders. Let me ask you, if you are up against an obstacle, there might not be anybody there to encourage, but God will be there to help you. Let me encourage you to be an encouragement to those around that need your help. We all have our own limitations that we see as limitations, but we serve a mighty God. And as we walk each day in faith, trusting Him. Let's be an encouragement to others, and let's be encouraged in the Word. Lord, I thank You for these examples in Scripture of those who needed encouragement. I thank You that You gave encouragement to them, and Lord, we're not asking for signs like they had. Lord, You don't give those type of signs too often. And most of those signs were for those people in Scripture who were doing these mighty tasks. But Lord, I know, as the Bolins know, that You bring encouragement in ways that can only be You. I'm sure other people out here understand that You bring encouragement in ways that we see Your hand at work in our lives. You are the great and mighty God. You are the God that sees us and knows everything about us. You are the God who loves us and wants our best for us. Lord, help us to look at obstacles as a chance to prove that You are mighty, that You do wonders in this world, that You are the God who created us, and You can do whatever You choose with us. Help us to be like the men of old who just step forth in faith, trusting You. Timid, yes, but believing in the God of Israel, believing in Jesus Christ, helping us to do whatever it is You're calling us to do. Help us, Lord, today, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.